Good morning all. I'm at the Cornwall Cricket Club's new pavilion in Cornwall Park. And I've got Rex Ingram, whose father was one of the early instigators of Hastings cricket. I've got Barry Rosenberg, a life member of Old Boys Hastings Cricket Club. And I've got another life member in David Black, who was manager for many, many years. Gentlemen, I thank you for coming this morning. And I will now hand over to Barry Rosenberg.
So, Jimmy, thanks. I'm Barry Rosenberg. Thanks for the opportunity to come here today to give an account of the history of the Cornwall Cricket Club, which began in 1990 with the amalgamation of two Hastings clubs, Old Boys Hastings and Whakatū Mahora. Previously, I was aligned to the Old Boys Hastings Cricket Club and was the treasurer there for something like 25 years, prior to the formation of the Cornwall Cricket Club, and played for the club pretty much since I'd left school. So back in the late 80s, we were finding it more and more difficult to field the number of teams that the Hawke's Bay Cricket Association expected us to. Player numbers were diminishing, and we seriously were having some major problems with fielding 11 players in some of the grades. We had a premier side, second grade side, third grade side, fourth grade side, president's grade, and no women's cricket at that time. So a few of us who were involved in the administration of both the Old Boys Hastings Cricket Club and the Whakatū Mahora Cricket Club got our heads together and thought, well, this can't carry on, because not only was our club struggling, but so was the Whakatū Mahora Club for numbers. So a small committee of us, there was myself, Michael Patton and Dougal Matheson from Old Boys, and from memory, Mike Boyce and Bob Love from the Whakatū Mahora Cricket Club sort of got our heads together and said, look, we can't carry on, this is not sustainable, we need to amalgamate the two clubs. And so, as you can imagine, there were some old stalwarts of both clubs who were opposed to the idea, but you know, the reality was that we just couldn't carry on the way we were. Otherwise, something had to happen. I mean, we either had to withdraw our whole club from a competition or amalgamate. And this is common these days. You know, there are a lot of clubs in not only cricket, but in rugby and other sports as well, rugby league, that are amalgamating because of the large number of player numbers dwindling. Because, you know, society has gone the way that there are so many more choices now for younger people. So anyway, in the 1990 year, at two committee meetings of each club, both clubs decided unanimously to form a new club, and we called that club the Cornwall Cricket Club. It was incorporated in the 1990-91 season. That was our first, I think, our first playing season. And, you know, ever since, it's been really successful in terms of its off and on field management. You know, the club has been pretty strong administratively. We've had our challenges in the last few years, but on the whole, the club has gone very well. And in 1996, a pivotal thing happened when the old pavilion, which I would have to say would probably have been the worst in New Zealand, at Cornwall Cricket Ground here at Cornwall Park, was demolished. And now we sit in this very, very modern and very, very nice pavilion. So our premises basically went from the worst in New Zealand to the best within about a year and a half, because now we sit here since 1996 in a new pavilion that was constructed for the benefit of the Cornwall Cricket Club of Hastings. And we hire this out for various reasons and for different functions. So the building, of course, worth a lot more now than what it was at the time. But as I said, we hire it out for functions, and you know, it's a focal point now with the park. And Cornwall Park, of course, is unique in that it was left to the city of Hastings for cricket only. There have been some requests to play hockey and one or two other sports on the ground over the years, but they haven't actually eventuated, and we have continued to play cricket on Cornwall Park. So the Cornwall Cricket Club now is the only cricket club in Hastings, and you know, we have got involved with junior cricket in a big way. So the Cricket Association has sort of delegated that responsibility to the Cornwall Cricket Club and members of the Cornwall Cricket Club, and we've got a very strong junior cricket club. And we've got some great people who have got a really keen interest in their children and the development of the game and their children's playing. side of it. So no problem with coaching and managing the younger junior sides. And they share this pavilion too. And, you know, that's just fantastic for our club, because those club members, along with the secondary schools, are our succession plan, you know, in terms of our player numbers for the future. And we see that as a critical part of the success and sustainability of this, our Cornwall Cricket Club. So our club has, as I said, financially been blessed to have had a lot of grants and support from, you know, local community trusts, charitable trusts, which we apply for funding for. It's a very expensive game to run. Administratively, I mean, a cost of one bat now is something like $800 odd. Balls are something like $100 a shot. You know, we're talking big money now. I mean, it's just mind-blowing what it costs to, and ground fees have gone up, and so it goes on. We haven't yet had a major benefactor leave anything in his or her will to our club, but we have been working on that from time to time without success. But however, that's another story and something we'll always try and work on to see if we can get a major benefactor for the upkeep of this building particularly, and maybe the expansion of it. You know, with the junior club coming on, we need more storage space, and we'd dearly like to have an office up here at some stage. But our club now fields and continues to field the premier side, what they call a senior A side, second grade side, third grade side, 2 4th grade sides, a women's team as well. So we are really now blessed with playing numbers. And the game as a whole, I think, has gone through some transitions, like most other sports, depending on the success of the national team. And you know, our national team have been very successful in the last few years. And so player numbers are good for our club, and we just look forward to the future and the continued, you know, playing and administrative success of our club. Just on 30 years now, coming up 30 years on, you know, we're here, you know, with bells and whistles and lights on, and you know, we're moving forward into the future with some good people. So yeah, that's roughly a history of our club. We've had some international players play for the club who have also attracted other players who have given both their time, their skill, their expertise to the younger players. So we're very blessed in that area. We've had a lot of Central Districts and Hawke's Bay representatives, both in men and women. And you know, we're just very blessed to have a strong club and, you know, strong people, and I think that's the key to it all, you know. So sustainably going to the future, we look forward to continued success.
Very good. When you ask a person of my age to recollect some things, you're opening the gate to a long discourse. I'll keep it as short as possible, but I can give quite a bit of history, particularly with regard to the original plant that became ultimately the Cornwall Cricket Club, with grafts along the way to the original. And I'll go back to my own personal connection with cricket. It was in 1943, in the middle of the war years, there was very little cricket being played, of course. Most of the clubs were in recess. I started at St. John's in 1943 as a 12-year-old, and found that the team was playing against players who in other teams, well, there was only one or two, who were very experienced cricketers. So it was quite a baptism for young guys like myself, having to play against these very experienced guys. But we managed. And I don't know how it came about, but John Henderson, who was a stalwart in the history of this club, and I used to play in the school holidays in the Hastings High School Boys Club, who had, I think, picked up round about 1945 and come out of recess. When I left school, I joined the Hastings Cricket Club, and I can arguably say that I would be the only person still alive who played with the Hastings Club. The late Richard Atkins, who died just recently, stalwart of the Taradale Club, mentioned 3 or 4 years ago in a press interview accomplishments of the Taradale Club, and he compared them with the similar accomplishments by the Hastings Club about 100 years previously. I thought to myself, you know, really, I'm the only one left and I know nothing about the history of the club. I thumbed through F.F. Kane's book that he wrote in the mid-1950s called The Cricket Centenary, The Story of Cricket in Hawke's Bay, from 1855 onwards, to try and find a reference to the foundation of the Hastings Cricket Club. I could not find anything pertaining to that. I mean, I only scanned the pages, but there was a photo of the winners of the 1915 competition, and it was the Hastings Cricket Club. So it obviously had been formed probably just before the First World War. Right, so I joined Hastings Cricket Club. Now, the Second World War, of course, had come along at this stage, and Hastings Club had been in recess, and they resurrected it at the end of the war, around about 1946. And they had two teams, a senior team and a fourth grade team. The senior team had been the winners of the Hawke's Bay competition prior to the start of the Second World War. And when they resurrected themselves, when they came out of recess, the Cricket Association, in their wisdom or loyalty, decided that Hastings should go into the senior competition as they had been the winners from the pre-war days. It meant relegating the team that had won the competition in the 1945-46 season, Wakatū Mahura. That caused an absolute outrage. It really was a nasty period in the period of our local cricket. There was a lot of bitterness over Wakatū Mahura's relegation to make way for the Hastings Club, and the antagonism lasted for years. I think Jim might be the only one that struck people that were still antagonistic in later years. Anyway, the procedure was a dismal failure. Hastings had elderly, or virtually middle-aged guys at that stage who'd come back from the war, and they just couldn't hack it. And the club, after half of the competition, was relegated to the second grade, and Wakatū Mahura were restored to the senior competition. So when I started after I left school, I joined the Hastings Club in that fourth grade team. When this to-do was sorted out, there was a meeting between Hastings and the Hastings High School Old Boys Club. Got to get these quite clearly defined. Hastings was not able to carry on any longer. The guys that were in the senior team in particular all wanted to be out of it. Guys like Cyril Martin, they were historic days, pre-wars, Les McCarthy, Tup Geddes, they all chucked it in. And so the club combined with Hastings High School Old Boys, it was the only way to save cricket virtually on the Hastings and Old Boys side of things. The only discussion over it was what were we going to call this new club. The Hastings guys were still wanted to see some connection of their club. It was the original club. So finally, after a hell of a lot of argument, it was decided that the club would be Old Boys Hastings. And that's where the difference came in, that Old Boys was Hastings High School Old Boys previously, and Hastings was intact on the end. Of course, in practical terms, over the years, The club was always called Old Boys anyway. But that was the start of the Old Boys Hastings team or club. Norm Phippard, who had been for many years, even pre-war, president of the Hastings High School Old Boys Club, carried on and became president of the new combined club, an office he served for many, many years. This is in 1949. Yeah, we started as a combined club in 1949. I can remember Norman Oliver was, I think, the first secretary. I was the first treasurer, of course. I can't remember who the chairman was, but we had some good administrators, including my own father, guys like Snow North and that. Old Boys did have one or two very good cricketers on their side too. So that's the lead up to the Old Boys Hastings Cricket Club. It was the best thing that could ever happen. It was sad to see the old Hastings Club really disappear, because it was the first of the Hastings Club. Barry mentioned about Cornwall Park here. I noted on one of the pages here that in fact in the early 1900s it didn't appear to be any cricket played here, but there must have been a few guys tried for all that. It's said that the Hawke's Bay Association had decided that Cornwall Park was just too rough for cricket, and if they wanted to have competition cricket here in Hastings, that they would have to find another ground. And I went to what was called, I think it was called the Heratonga Ground. But anyway, it was the start of a movement to get a new cricket ground in Hastings. A lot of effort went into raising the money, and somebody who must have had a great deal of influence persuaded Mr. William Nelson of the Frisian Works fame to grant land which became Nelson Park, and that was the ground for the establishment of cricket in Hastings here in the early 1900s. I can remember playing on Nelson Park myself in the late 1940s, so we're still playing on Nelson Park, but it didn't go for much longer after that. Right, well, I've given you the history of Hastings that I know, and Barry's carried on with the Old Boys Hastings side of things. So, you know, that's over to the more recent ones now, because I've had no connection with the Cornwall Cricket Club as such, but I played, of course, for many years, right through to 1980, in the combined club. So I had a long kind of period of play with the Old Boys Hastings club. So it's over to somebody else now.
And a very good member you were as well, Rex. As you said, you played for many years and you were a star in one or two of the games that we played. Very good man to break up a partnership with those slow lobs, lob bowling that you used to do.
It did not always be like that.
One thing, your father's name was?
Claude. Well, my father, who was one of the vice presidents of the Old Boys Hastings Club, gave great service to cricket. He had many years on the Hawke's Bay Cricket Association Management Committee. It was at a time when there were two sub-associations, one in Hastings and one in Napier. And the chairmanship of the Hawke's Bay Association had to alternate from year to year. Napier would be 1 year and Hastings the next year. And my father was one of those chairmen for many years. Lloyd Singleton, one of our early members, his father, Ed Singleton, was another one who was one of the alternate chairmen over the years. But the best thing that could have happened was that they decided to abolish the sub-associations.
As they had in rugby.
That strengthened the administration, because they were always niggling. You've got this constant niggling that persisted for years between Hastings and Napier. I don't know whether it exists to this day, but it used to.
Rex, you've got a great memory. Can you just remind us how old you are?
Well, shortly after Christmas, I'll be 92.
Wonderful.
But as I say, I joined cricket as a 12-year-old. St John's only had enough people to kind of make up one team to enter the competition here. And somebody, I think the headmaster at St John's, knew that my father had something to do with cricket and that I had also played cricket in primary school. I can hardly remember that myself. So as a 12-year-old, I got thrust into this first 11, which was the first team that St John's ever entered in competition cricket. And there's the photo, and you won't have much trouble recognising me there.
And we'll get the names?
Yes, all the names are there. But that was the first St John's team to play competition cricket. So you've got a bit of extra history there, Jim.
Very good. David, you might like to add to this. David Black?
Certainly happy to do that. I first came into contact with this club when I played for Old Boys Hastings. I think I played third grade or fourth grade in a team called Georgie's Army, which was named after Bruce Georgie, who was son of Ron Georgie, the mayor of Hastings at one time. And we had a real mixture of players from different walks of life, which was very successful socially. And I think, Rex, I might have played in a game with you for fourth grade Old Boys Hastings at one stage. I've just got some points here that I've noted. On Cornwall Park, we've had first-class cricket. We've had Central Districts play Auckland and Otago, a huge undertaking by the club. But the club ran a successful day and made a few dollars at the end of it. Some of our famous players have been Ian Smith and Mark Greatbatch, Peter McGlashan, plus we've had a huge input into Hawke's Bay representatives in the last 50-odd years. I then progressed from being a very average to near hopeless cricketer into the bar manager at the club, or maybe they called it the club manager. That was in the mid-1990s, and being full-time employed, I was able to use some of my experience from England, where I was employed at the Bath Cricket Club. I was able to use some of the ideas back here in New Zealand. I even tried afternoon tea between innings, but the New Zealand players didn't take to that, and so it didn't survive. I remember making cucumber sandwiches for about 2 hours, and the players didn't like them. We're the biggest cricket club in Hawke's Bay in regard to numbers, and we're also the strongest club. For about the last 12 years, we have won the Hawke's Bay Cricket Association's award for the strongest club. That is, we've had more wins than any other club, so that's always something that's good to win. Overseas players, we've had them from the UK come out and play out here, and they've all been successful. And we've had Cornwall players go to England and play, mainly at the Bath Cricket Club. And I can recall one Saturday in Bath when there was a game on at the home ground. I can recall Lincoln Reed, who played for us for 1 year, coming to the park, seeing Peter McGlashan, Josh Pyrrell, Aaron McDonald, and a couple of other Cornwall players playing on the ground. And Lincoln said to me, "What's going on? Half the Cornwall clubs here in England." And I said, "Well, they're just enjoying their overseas experience and they're all turning out for Bath, which we are grateful for." Women's cricket. In Hastings, there was a team we'd call a wandering team in about the late 1990s. And we managed to bring them under our umbrella. And they never won a game for about 3 seasons, but they certainly enjoyed the game. And we did end up winning the Hawke's Bay competition after about 7 years. One of our successes at this club is we have a team called Danger Islanders. And they are a team of players. They work for Graham Lowe's old tannery business, but they are from the Cook Islands and they're from an island called Danger Island. They came to us and said, could we play under your umbrella? We decided yes, and they have been probably the best team for 15 summers in paying their club subs. They enjoy the game, the result is not the be-all and end-all. They're happy and they are very supportive of the club, and we're proud of the Danger Islanders. The building of this pavilion in the mid-1990s was due to a lot of work by a lot of people. Mike Patton, Lloyd Singleton, Dougal Matheson, Barry Rosenberg, Jim Newbegin and others all helped to build this pavilion. And Ian Smith tells us regularly that we've got the best cricket pavilion for a club in New Zealand. And we all know how often Smithy gets around the country, so we imagine that it's true. Dougal Matheson started calling the park here Lords, especially the number one wicket out here. And I remember him one day telling us why it was called Lords. The Kent County under 17 team from England came out and played Hawke's Bay one day. And their coach was a guy called Neil Taylor, who was a first-class cricketer for Kent. And he stood on the balcony here, and he called it Lords. And Dougal said, it's nothing like Lords. He said, I've been to Lords, it's all concrete and bricks. And Neil Taylor said, this is typical of an English cricket ground. You've got oak trees, yeah. You've got greenery. Just look out there and see how beautiful it is. Now, Lords is beautiful too, in its own way. But this is beautiful in another way. And so ever since then, whenever Dougal's around, you hear him talking about the Lord's ground. Not many clubs in New Zealand would be able to skite about that.
So from my own playing career, I finished competitively in the mid-1980s and then played with my mates down in the, you know, lower grades afterwards. And Mike Patton, who's, you know, character and stalwart of the club, fellow life member. I remember her playing quite a bit in the lower grades with him, and he didn't score that many centuries, you know, when he was playing premier cricket, but I remember he scored 4 or 5 in the lower grades, and I remember it at Frimley Park one day, he actually almost managed 200 and hold out to deep square leg, because I think he was so thirsty that he needed to have a can of ale, which he really enjoyed after each game of cricket that he played. But there's been a lot of history here and a lot of things happened over the last 30 years. We've been very blessed to have had some great characters and some great quality of people involved in this club, which have kept it going. And, you know, after playing premier cricket, a lot of us went and played in the lower grades, which sort of added to the enjoyment. And I think it added to the value of the club too, because we were able to pass on a lot of knowledge that we'd got during our premier playing days to those younger guys who are coming through and are playing at that higher level now. But Father Time catches up with us all, and you know, we all have to end our careers at some stage. And yeah, it's a great pleasure to come back here and look at the players who are playing now and enjoy the pavilion and the club and see the success of those who are playing today. It's been a great privilege.
In October 1911, it was decided to play all matches at Cornwall Park, but the ground in those days was never really good enough for senior cricket. Then at a specially convened meeting held at the Masonic Hotel, June 1912, the President reported that in conjunction with other interested gentlemen, he had secured the Heratonga ground at Hastings, together with an adjacent section to be used as a sports ground, especially for cricket, for all time. What was the story behind this announcement? It would appear that many years previously, William Nelson of Tomona, with several young sons, had wished to establish a private preparatory school for boys at Hastings. With that idea in mind, had invited an English schoolmaster from Warwickshire, a Mr. Rainbow, who was father of A.I. Rainbow, one time Mayor of Hastings, to come to New Zealand to found an institution of this nature. This Mr. Rainbow agreed to do, providing Mr. Nelson presented him with a suitable area of land and also agreed to bear the cost of the buildings. Mr. Nelson thereupon purchased a 5-acre section where the Nelson Cricket Ground now stands. So that's really the end of that, because that was a foundation of Nelson Park, and cricket was played there in the early days, probably when the Hastings Cricket Club was founded around about that time. So that's an item of interest for Hastings. Cornwall Park was not good enough to play cricket on in those days, so they had to find somewhere else, and William Nelson and Mr. Rainbow attended to that. And just as a matter of interest, I live in Rainbow Avenue, and people say to me, well, that's a nice name, calling it Rainbow Avenue. I said, well, it's not the rainbow you're imagining. It's named after Mr. A.I. Rainbow.
Well, approximately £5,000, the land was sold to the Hastings Council from the Nelson family, is it?
William Nelson.
Did the Nelson family own this block, Rex?
I wouldn't know that.
They owned an awful lot of land everywhere.
So, Jim, has this discussion come up to your expectations in terms of finding out about the history of our club?
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's hugely valuable, because unless this sort of thing is recorded like you're doing and like the Knowledge Bank is doing, you know, it's going to be lost. It'll never be recorded. And the only way to maintain and preserve something is to record it. I think it's been a special hour, and I just want to say how grateful I am to be asked and to be part of it, you know, because it's been great. I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Hastings Borough Council bought it for £5,800. Additional 2 acres was acquired in 1935.
What about the meetings we used to have in your office in Karamu Road in the early days?
Yeah, well, they were just committee meetings.
Yeah, committee meetings.
Yeah.
And, we had to be there at a certain time, was it?
Well, after 5 o'clock.
Oh, yes, after you'd finished your legal business.
There's a right-of-way goes off Karamu Road, opposite where McDermott's building used to be. It goes down around the Grand Hotel. And this building I was in, I was at the back of the building that was on the northern side of the right-of-way, with a window that looked straight down onto an empty section. But underneath, on the bottom floor, Murray McKerney had an auction shop at that stage. He was an auctioneer. And he used to come out onto this section area to conduct his auction sales. And I would look out my window directly down onto the auction. He was always all the time knocking stuff down to me. He was pointing up, oh, there's been so much, you know, 10 and sixpence for an old lawnmower or whatever. He was always using me to get higher bids.
That section was where Square Deal Neil
had
his car yard.
Square Deal Neil. Oh, God. Who can forget him? David Keyes and I went on a trip to Australia to see a cricket test. David was then carrying on and going overseas to Britain, but we stopped firstly in Australia and we went up to Surface. Surface was just starting to acquire some reputation at that stage, but nothing like it is now. And Dave and I were in the pub, and who comes in but Square Deal Neil? As boisterous as ever. So we were great mates. Here was somebody from Hastings who knew him. I've forgotten his wife's name. Do you remember her?
I remember her.
She had a kind of a nickname. But anyway, he said, hop in the car, we'll go and see his wife. We go out there and he's got one of these great American open cars. He started it up and took off down the main street of Surfers, straight down the centre of it. He said, "You watch all these bastards get out of the way." He drove straight down the centre of the main street at full speed. Oh, God, it was hair raising. We got down to his place where he lived. She wouldn't let us in the door.
Now, David Keyes, of course, was a member of this club.
That's right.
He was a spin bowler. Very good indeed.
He was.
Played for Hawke's Bay as well. And he's a retired chemist.
David actually played for a representative side against a touring overseas side. One of his first outings as a rep. But a long time ago, it was against an English side, I think.
And I think he played against the Fijians as well.
I think Lee Totty might have played against Fiji as well.
So, anyway, gentlemen, well, have we covered it all?
I would. Sorry. You know, we could mention names like George Sage. Now, when the amalgamation between Hastings and Hastings Old Boys was done, George Sage, I think, was, I wouldn't swear to it, but I think he was the first captain of the new combined club. And he had good players there in the team, Johnny Henderson.
He played cricket at Lord's.
George Sage. Lord's. Oh, yes. Good cricketer, George. There were guys like George Sage, Snow North, Sid Keong, Johnny Henderson. I'm not sure whether Don Bryan was there just at that amalgamation point or whether he came along perhaps the next season. I'm not sure about Don Bryan, but of course there was a formidable attack that team had with Don and Johnny.
Yep. And John Parks, did he play for Hastings?
Parks, the English coach. No, he didn't play for our club. Then there was Morris Tremlett, who played, I think, Napier Boys High.
That's right.
Played in their team.
His son played for England last year.
Yes, oh yes, yes. Was it his son or his grandson? I think it might have been his grandson, David. Yeah.
I remember coming back from my years in Wellington and wondering which club to join, and I was introduced to Sid Keong. Sid said, "You're coming to play for Old Boys Hastings," which I did, and I came to practice and got into my whites for practice and marched down to the practice wickets out here. We had to set the nets up ourselves. And someone, "God, you guys got a professional." Of course, in Wellington, we had to wear whites for practice. Some of my early days.
I was here when Parks was coaching. You know, come over and have net practice here. He'd supervise it.
And my first game was over there. It was against Wakatu Mahora. Lloyd Singleton's father, Ed, was the umpire at one end. I appealed about three times in the over for either a catch or an LBW, and turned down every time. So I went up to Lloyd, took his glasses off, took my handkerchief out and gave them a good clean, and then put them back. And I always remember him said, "You're going to be reported to the Hawke's Bay Cricket Association." Well, in those days, we used to have our drinking just round the corner in Ed's shed. And I used to bring the 2 dozen crate of beer around at lunchtime before the game started. In those days, we didn't have fridges, so we put a wet sack over to keep the beer cold. And we stayed there till fairly late, and Ed became quite jovial, enjoying the day, and he said, "I've really enjoyed tonight's session. My report has been destroyed." And we got on like a house on fire from there on in.
We used to have those sessions down at Len Jones's place. Yeah. He made it quite clear that if any phone calls came from wives wanted to know where their husbands were, that person would be banned in future.
Well, I can tell a little story. Day before the old pavilion was emptied out, ready for demolition, the club was sponsored by a bar in town. I just can't recall the name of it. Opposite the Albert Hotel.
That was the Carlton.
The Carlton, but it was called something else.
Billy's Bar.
It was something bar. Yeah. There was a little guy who ran. Anyway, I got up to make an announcement at the after-match function of all the teams in this bar, and I said, there's a working bee tomorrow morning down here at the pavilion. We need some help. So can you come down and help us clean out the pavilion? And there was a bit of talk, but not too much. And then a guy tapped me on the shoulder, a young guy, young player to the club. And he said to me, what's a working bee? I thought, the world's changed. Yeah, right. What a working bee was.
Dear me, talking about pubs. I just got married and we bought a house in Allerton Street. I had no drive. I'd done some edging and going to put some what was called red metal in those days. It was cheaper than concreting a driver. Anyway, I'm out there working one Sunday morning and around comes a guy, Roy Legit. I don't think anybody would know him. His sister was Joyce Legit. She became Joyce Harding. Anyway, Roy came around and said, look, we've got a match on today and we're one short. Would you mind filling in for the day? Oh, God. I didn't want to, but I said yes. Okay, well, it was to be between the Albert Hotel. I forget who the other one was now. But the Albert Hotel was the main team and was providing the grog, which amounted to, you know, a big barrel of beer. Out we go to Farndon Park and the match starts. There's plenty of drinking done during the day and during the lunch hour and all the rest of it. And finally, at the end of the day, the packing up and taking off didn't go any further than the Clive Hotel. Somehow or other, the Clive Hotel guy had got onto this and he invited the teams. I know the other one. It was Watties playing the Albert Hotel. And he invited everybody over to the Clive pub. So over we went there to the Clive pub, and it's getting well into the evening at this stage, having a session there. And during the course of the whole evening, they were running off raffles of beer. Well, of course, the ones that were there winning these raffles were these same people. I don't know what time we left there, but it certainly would have been after midnight and everybody was still driving.
Yeah. Jim, you know how Rex has given a fantastic sort of history of the Hastings Club and the Old Boys Club becoming Old Boys Hastings. If you wanted to replicate that kind of, you know, dissertation and history for the Wakatumahora Cricket Club, I reckon the best person you could approach would be Sir Selwyn Cushing. He would be the best guy because no one else really would have the knowledge that he would have, similar to what Rex gave us today on the Hastings and the Old Boys Cricket Club. Right. So we amalgamated the two clubs, Old Boys Hastings and Wakatoo, and we got Rex's side of it from the Old Boys Hastings side. But, you know, maybe there's a bit of a gap there that you could fill with Sir Selwyn. And he would be happy to do that, Jim, if you approached them, I'm sure.
And there's quite a bit of reference to it in Kane's book.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to think of a way of maybe completing the whole story from way back, you know. I don't know anybody else that would be as old as Sir Selwyn that would have that knowledge because, you know, guys like Les Jones are gone, Lee Toddy's gone, Roger Spencer's still around. Yeah, but a lot of those guys are past now that we used to play against, you know, back in the 70s. So just a thought.
Thank you very much. And I wanted to thank you for coming along and giving your thoughts on the club.
Been a pleasure, Jim.
It's just very special. Nice to get these things.
Building, of course, worth a lot more now than we all have to end our careers at some stage.
Mr. A.I. Rainbow.